Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. God's word said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Steve Malone has told a story about a precious dad moment. As ham sandwich go, it was perfection. A thick slab of ham, a fresh bun, crisp lettuce, and plenty of expensive light brown gourmet mustard. The corner of my jaw was aching in anticipation. I carry it to the picnic table in our backyard, pick it up with both hands, but stop by my wife suddenly at my side. "Hold, Johnny," our six-week-old son. "Why'd I get my sandwich?" she said. I'd had him balanced between my left elbow and shoulder, and I was reaching again for the ham sandwich when I noticed a streak of mustard on my finger. I love mustard, and I had no napkin, so I lick it off. It was not mustard. No man ever put a baby down faster. It was the first and only time I had sprint with my tongue protruding. With a washcloth in each hand, I did the sort of routine shoe shine guys do. Only I did it on my tongue. Later, my wife said, "Now you know what they call that mustard poop on." Today is Father's Day, and last month Pastor Gadigan preaches on Mother's Day, so I will focus on Father's Day today, and we honor all father. As you sit here today, I want you to think of your own father. I hope that you knew him. I hope that you love him. I also hope that he was a good father, as mine was. But even if you did know your father, even if you did not love your father, your father still helped make you negatively or positively who you are today. I know that most of you older folks know the history of Father's Day Eve, but I'm going to remind our younger generation again how the history of fathers started. Henry Jackson Smart, a Civil War veteran from Spokane, Washington, at the time of delivery of his wife's sixth child, sadly, Mrs. Smart died in childbirth. Her husband went on to raise the infant and his other five children by himself, an incredible example of patience and determination. So in 1910, his daughter, Sonora Dow, was in church listening to a Mother's Day sermon, and she think to herself, "Why not honor fathers too?" Mrs. Dow thought, "After all, my father did so much for my brother, sister, and me." That day, Sonora Dow embarked on a mission to establish Father's Day. At first, it was to occur on June 9th, Henry Smart's birthday, but because of the time needed to organize a celebration, it was pushed back to the third Sunday of June 1910. The third Sunday in June idea stuck. And in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation confirming this. And in 1972, President Richard Nixon made it a permanent national holiday observance. That's the history of Father's Day. To become a father is to understanding the meaning of fatherhood. You realize that the touches that you make upon your sons or daughter will shape him or her for better or for worse for their entire life. And who can know which touches have meaning? A word here, a glance there, a time together, a time apart. which will be the moment that will rise up in memory and shape the child that looks without judgment on all you do and say. I wonder if we realize the strength of the bond that exists between father and sons, between mother and daughter. Do we understand the things that have happened in our family will imprint to the next generation with a story, with an understanding of life, and shape the future for better or for worse? Billy Graham said, children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see it clearly, and you give them something that gold and silver cannot buy. Certainly, our Heavenly Father understands how important the parent-child relationship is. After all, God is the one who designed it. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And later, God expressed his will for us when he said, honor your father and mother. God gave us parents so they could teach and provide for us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and that parent should raise the children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Because of the important role parents play in our lives, Luther reminds us to honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. So children, do you treat your father with loving and kindness, or do you mistreat them in their old age? One of Grimm's fairy tales told about how a son treated his father. Once there was a little old man. His eye blinked and his hand trembled. When he ate, he clattered the silver distressingly, missed his mouth with the spoon as often as not, and dribbled a bit of his food on the tablecloth. Now he lived with his married son and having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife did not like the arrangement. I can't have this, she said. It interfered with my happiness. So she and her husband took the old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they set him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day, his hand trembled rather more than usual, and then the earthenware bowl fell and broke. If you are a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you must eat out of a trough. So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his milk in that. These people have a 4-year-old son whom they were very fond of. One evening, the young man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. I'm making a trope, he said, smiling, up to his father for approval, to feed you and mama out of when I get big. The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and did not say anything. Then they cried a little. They then went to the corner and took the old man by the arm and led him back to the table. They sat him in a comfortable chair and gave him his food on a plate, and from them on, nobody ever scolded when he clattered or spilled or broke things. Today, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We, as children, it is our aim to please not our only parents, but God in all of our life. But pleasing God is not just something out of our minds and lives, but our literal homes must also be a place and arena in which we also seek to please God. Because of sin, most of us play the part of rebellious sons, or daughter at some time in our lives. You see, our relationship with our earthly father is not much different than our relationship with our heavenly father. Just as we disobey our parent, we also disobey God. Just as we ignore father advice and counsel, we also ignore the counsel of the Holy Scripture. And just as our earthly father understand our youthful rebellion, our heavenly father eagerly forgive the sins of our youth. Several years ago on Father's Day, a book called Letter to My Son by Kent Newman, he wrote, in the first chapter of the book, the author writes this word, "None of us can escape the shadow of the Father, even if that shadow fills us with fear, even if he has no name or face. To be worthy of that man, to prove something to that man, to exercise the memory of that man from every corner of our life, however affected us, the shadow of that man cannot be denied. We all labor under the shadow. It makes us who we are and shape the person we hope to be." You see, our Heavenly Father is with us to the end of the age. It is not his shadow that we had to be afraid of, but it is his will that when we honor those that deserve to be respect and honor, we are honoring God. Another story, Jamie Buckingham tells a story in his book, Power for Living. It was a story first told by Fred Cradle while lecturing at Yale University. He told of a going back one summer to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to take a short vacation with his wife. One night they found a little quiet restaurant where they looked forward to a private meal, just the two of them. While they were waiting for their meal, they noticed a distinguished-looking white-haired man moving from table to table. Visiting guests, Cradle whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." He didn't want the man to intrude on their privacy, but the man did come by his table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked amicably. "Oklahoma. Splendid state. I hear, although I've never been there, what do you do for a living?" "I teach homiletics at the Graduate Seminary of Phillips University." "Oh, so you teach preacher, do you? Well, I got a story I want to tell you." And with that, he pulled up a chair and sat down at a table with Cradle and his wife. Dr. Cradle said, he groaned inwardly, "Oh no, here come another preacher's story. It seems everyone has one." The man stuck out his hand. "I'm Ben Hooper. I was born not far from here, across the mountain. My mother wasn't married when I was born, so I had a hard time. I started to school. My classmate had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go out by myself at recess and during lunchtime because the taunters of my playmate cut so deeply. What was worse was going downtown on Saturday afternoon and feeling every eye burning a hole through you. They were all wondering just who my real father was. So when I was 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. I would always go in late and slip out early. But one day the preacher said the benediction so fast, I got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. I could feel every eye in church on me. Just about the time I got to the door, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. I looked up and the preacher was looking right at me. "Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?" I felt the old weight come on me. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile with a big smile of recognition. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God. With that, he slapped me across the room and said, boy, you got a great inheritance. Go and claim it. The old man looked across the table at Fred Crater and said, that was the most important single sentence ever said to me. With that, he smiled, shook the hand of Crater and his wife, and moved to another table to greet old friends. Suddenly, Fred Crater remembered on two occasions the people of Tennessee had elected an illegitimate to be their governor. One of them was Ben Hooper. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, God's word said today, children, obey your parent in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. We honor our earthly father this day, but our heavenly father honored us by sacrificing his only son. His love for us is so great that he was willing to pay any price to redeem you and I, his sons and daughter. Our Heavenly Father promised to forgive us and welcome us back into his open arm when we come to him in humble and repentance. He doesn't scold us. He just welcomes us back into his kingdom of grace with an open arms. Our Heavenly Father loves us enough to let us learn from our mistake. He loves us and welcomes us back in the name of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He sees perfection and holiness which we possess through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen.